It's the week that was with Joe Palmisano.
It is the 6th of February, 2015, and this is the week that was. It is 30 degrees outside right now. You're looking for a high today of 41, intervals of clouds and sunshine. I hope your week was good. I hope you had a great one. And, you know, I was going to have my brother on today. I have to tell you, I've been wanting him to co-host the show. My brother and I are very close, but different in views. And it's interesting because now we're kind of coming back together. I think it's almost a microcosm of what's going on in our country where people are kind of fed up with both sides of the aisle. So I was going to have him on today and co-host the show. But unfortunately, something came up for him in the last minute. He's got a lot of things going on, and he had to back out. So I'm solo with Steven and Jim and Dave, and I'm fine with that. And we'll get him on sometime in the future. On Monday, the first of many state elections took place as Iowa had its caucus, a very unique and very complicated way to vote on candidates for president of both parties. What did the Iowa caucus tell us? What are the real ramifications for candidates going forward? And what were some of the problems with this year's first state primary? One of the problems, obviously, was voter turnout, caucus turnout. Unbelievable numbers. The record was 121 for the Republicans, 121,000 back in 2012. They were somewhere over 180,000 this year. Ran out of ballots, had to reprint ballots. Same thing, I guess, on the Democratic side. Not quite as much, but 180,000 turned out, shattered the previous record for turnout for the Iowa caucus. And we'll talk about all that, what that all means. You know that it's now February. And it's so nice that it's getting, pretty soon we're getting into double digits of February, which means those months with the little names start coming. Warmth. But many of you are still involved with your commitments that you made and that we made to ourselves at New Year's, the New Year's resolutions. And what is the real goal? If you think about it, what is the real goal of those resolutions? Those resolutions we make to ourselves. And why do we make them? Essentially for one reason, don't you think? Happiness, contentment, self-confidence. In today's chaotic environment, can we truly expect to attain real happiness? And what is happiness? On today's show, we're going to speak with an author, a speaker, a consultant, a thought leader about what it takes to achieve contentment. We will discuss her new ebook, It's Not That Complicated, How to Create a Personalized Template of Alignment. Jan Bowen will be on our show at 9 o'clock to talk about how to create that. Because after all, once you get that, do you really need resolutions? Probably not. We'll talk about it. As you know, I'm a strong adversary of the everyone gets a trophy mentality that seems to be growing in this country. Its symptoms are everywhere from youth leagues to now local high school conferences. One symptom, I believe, that has shown up in the past week is the OHSAA finally passing the competitive balance plan. Just the sound of that makes me... Yeah. Competitive balance. I try to spin it. It's like fairness. It's like justice. Those words, they just kind of, they plug them in everywhere. competitive balance. Let's balance the competition. Let's balance it. And so the plan will be implemented in 2017. I hate it. I mean, it's simple. I hate it. It has no merit. It's not based on facts, in my mind. Although, I realize my mind is rather complicated. But in my mind, it has no... And really, if you look at the facts, it has no merit. What was the purpose of it? What is the real goal? Was it to pacify those who have to tie the hands of the winners in order to compete? So that they don't have to improve. They don't have to look at themselves. They don't have to figure out how they can get better. Instead, they want to bring everybody else down to their level. Can you imagine this in the world? Can you imagine a top salesman at a company who is the highest sales every year, and the rest of the people on the sales force throw him out because he's too good? Or she. Today on the show at 10 a.m., we're finally going to speak with, and I need to do this, we're going to speak with Tim Street. Now, I love Tim Street. Tim Street is one of the hardest working individuals I have ever come around. He is the Director of Information Services for the OHSAA. He's the one that takes care of us at all the playoffs, all the state championships, puts out all the information, does everything. He works his butt off, and he is good, and I respect him tremendously. But we're going to talk to him today about why this was pushed and why this was passed. I finally get to hear and actually get to hear from them. The day I have been waiting for has finally arrived. And although he is a troubled man, and I do have sympathy for him, the Browns' hand was finally forced, and they will likely rid themselves of Johnny Football after two disastrous seasons. Now, you know, I don't want to sound cold. This guy's got problems. But let's face it, folks. He's a millionaire. He had all the opportunity to make it. And he didn't do it. And frankly, being in the pros is all about winning and all about performing. It's not about excuses. And he hasn't done it. I've said many times that I didn't think, in fact, I even posted on the Browns website that Jimmy Haslam needed to man up, so to speak, and do this. And now his hands are obviously forced. Plus, the Super Bowl is coming up tomorrow, finally. And who does the professor think will win? We'll talk about that. That and more sports with Dave Sheets at 8:35. What is Washington, D.C. doing? We're going to get to that. You could keep that in the background, Stephen. I love that. What is Washington, D.C. doing to slow down crime? That story and more in our duct tape segment, our trifecta contest, and more. And I'll tell you why this music is being played when we come back. Stay tuned. This is the week that was. Yes, this is Earth, Wind, and Fire Day. One of my favorite groups, maybe my most favorite group of all time, is Earth, Wind, and Fire. Maurice White, one of the founders, along with Philip Bailey, one of the founders of Earth, Wind, and Fire, passed away yesterday. He died of complications from Parkinson's disease. He was 74 years old. Maurice White actually stopped playing with the group or singing with the group in 1994. He was diagnosed with Parkinson's in the late 80s, and then complications from the disease forced him to retire from touring with the band in 1994. Over the years, he won 7 Grammy Awards. And in 2000, Earth, Wind, and Fire was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Maurice White, dead, passed away at 74 years old, and he will be missed. That group is unbelievable. That was, again, like I said, one of my all-time favorite groups. Next week, next Saturday morning, I'll be broadcasting live from the Canton Civic Center. I can't wait. I'm excited about this because I care. I really care about kids. I love kids. I love seeing young people play. I love seeing young people have fun. And that's what Kids Fest is all about. Canton Kids Fest. It'll be at the Civic Center next week. I'll be broadcasting from 8 to 11 live from there. Come by, say hi. I may, on breaks, have to go over on the slidey things and mess around and play, become a kid. It features the best deal for day of kid fun. Kids ages 12 and under are free, by the way. $5 per adult. The inflatables are $3 per kid. You know what? I may have a couple bucks with me. So if someone wants to go on an inflatable and doesn't have the money, I may be there to help. I'm going to be there. And for all inflatables in the DeVille Apartments Bounce Bonanza World by DeVille Apartments, and you could go there, they're $3 to get in for that. By the way, you can also pick up your free Kid Fest VIP passes, good for either an adult admission or a child's access to the inflatables. You can pick these up, folks, by going to Pat Kattan's from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Tuesday, February 9th. If you go there, Pat Kattan's 4 to 6, Tuesday, February 9th, Pam Cook will be there handing out a limited amount of VIP passes. Trust me, this is the best ticket in town. And it's yours free while quantities last. So once they're out, don't get mad at Pam. It's not her fault. You just get there early from 4 to 6 this Tuesday at the Canton Whipple Avenue location, Pat Kattan's. You could pick up your free VIP passes. Now, I'm going to tell you this real quickly. Canton's Kid Fest, it's a chance to get your kids some playtime. It's cold. They're not going outside as much. I mean, they're going to have entertainment. They're going to have games. This is all sponsored, by the way, by WHBC and a bunch of people in the area that are helping out. Sarda, Pat Kattan's, Arts and Stark, a bunch of different places are joining together to sponsor this. But you're going to have entertainment. You're going to have games. You're going to have prizes. You're going to have bouncy houses. You're going to have face painting, balloons, arts and crafts, interactive exhibits, petting zoo, and more. For children age 12 and under, it's free. And children must be accompanied by an adult. So remember that. Children must be accompanied by an adult. Tickets are available at the door. It's $5 for adults, $3 for inflatables. I will be there to help if you want to go on an inflatable and don't have $3. I'm telling you that. I will be there from 8 to 11, Saturday morning, live. Stop by, see me, or else you'll see me on an inflatable. For sure. I will be on one of those sliding things. No doubt. All right. I wanted to get into one thing today that is going to kind of be... We're going to get into this competitive balance stuff. But there's one thing that really got to me this week, and I saw it come across the wire, and it involves the NBC. And we're going to talk about it more. We're going to get into this. But the schools, the other schools in the NBC, have elected to get out of the NBC and form their own league. Now, that would be Alliance, Canton South, Salem, Carrollton, Minerva, and West Branch, Marlington. They voted to leave. And the reason is, Louisville's athletic success, particularly in football, was the driving force behind the decision. Really? And then this is what the superintendent of Marlington said. It is an issue over consideration of competitive balance. There's that word again. Competitive balance and competitive equity. Now, let me ask you a question. Alliance has 22,000 people in it. Canton South is in Canton. Salem has 12,000. Louisville has 9,000 people in the community. Why is it that Alliance can't compete with Louisville? Why is it that places like Carrollton and Minerva and you know, maybe West Branch is you know, obviously Beloit's small, but it draws from other areas. It's not a matter of population. We see schools like the schools down south, the small schools that win the state championship every year. We see them with great teams that could compete in the NBC. So why is it that when a team gets too good, people want to kick them out or leave them? This is an interesting conversation, folks, because I've never heard of this happening ever before in my life. There's been conferences all my life. Akron Garfield dominated the city series. People didn't say, you know what? They had to get better. They didn't say, Garfield, you're out. Go to the Suburban League because you're too good. You got Larry Poole playing for you. You know, you've got Dave Brown playing for you. These guys are pro athletes. So, we can't compete. What is Louisville doing right that they win? Why don't you learn what they're doing and match it and beat them instead of throwing them out? I think this is cowardly. Let me be blunt. I think it's cowardly. And we're going to talk about this more when we get into competitive balance. I would be ashamed right now if I was an administrator of Alliance, Canton South, Carrollton, Minerva, Salem. How are these people? I know Ron Johnson right now can't be happy with this decision. We'll get into that more, but it just absolutely fires me up. You're too good, Louisville, so we're throwing you out. Earth, wind, and fire. But this soothes me after being angry, Stephen. Thank you. All right, we're going to get into sports. We're going to talk a little bit about this with Dave Sheets when we come back. Okay, it's time for our contest real quick before we get on and talk sports with the Professor Dave Sheets. But I wanted to give you your answers now. Are you ready? Write these down. These are Super Bowl-related questions because tomorrow's a Super Bowl. Makes sense. First answer, Jim Mora. Jim Mora, M-O-R-A, Jim Mora. Second answer, Steve Smith. Steve Smith. Steve Smith. Okay. Jim Mora, Steve Smith. Third answer is Seattle Seahawks. Seattle Seahawks. Got it?
Seattle.
I had to enunciate.
I know you did.
Seattle Seahawks.
Yavol. All
right, everybody got that. Those are your three answers. Later on in the show, I'll give you your questions. And you will win in duty, as my dad used to say. That means nothing, I think, in Italian. Mm. Four packs of tickets to the Canton Charge versus the Iowa Energy on February 16th. And so you get those tickets. Four pack, family four pack. All right, Dave.
Good morning. Nice.
How are you?
I'm well, you?
Good. I don't really want to get into, I'm sick of Johnny Manziel. So I, but here's an interesting thing. I actually read an article this week saying it was actually three reasons why the Steelers should sign Johnny Manziel.
The Steelers?
Steelers.
Wow. Okay.
It actually says he'll have stability.
True. True.
He'll have Ben Roethlisberger to guide him.
Mm-hmm.
And he's talented. He's better than any of the backups they have.
Yeah, probably. But if I were the Steelers, I probably would look to draft another quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think, who's the guy, the former Oklahoma, is it Wilson? No, Landry Jones,
yeah.
Right? He's their backup.
He's
now.
Not bad.
He's not bad.
Michael Vick.
Yeah, Michael Vick, yeah. But Landry Jones isn't bad.
Well, but is Johnny Manziel better?
At this point, no.
Okay.
I wouldn't touch Johnny Manziel with a 10-foot
pole. I want the Steelers to take him.
Do you really?
Oh, I want chaos in that locker room.
Yeah, I got it now, sure.
I want them
oh,
to
yeah, please. Implode. Please sign me.
I want them to be dealing with all this stuff.
Or the Bengals, right?
Yeah, somebody like that.
Somebody in the division.
I also...
You got to... You do...
You know, got to feel for him.
You do.
I don't, but only a certain amount.
You can't wish all of this on a person.
I don't wish him bad.
I know.
I just wish him out of the Browns.
Yeah. Well,
let him go get help.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Finally, it's going to
happen. I mean, if they don't release him now, I know they're waiting until...
What is it, March 8th or 9th?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the beginning of the new year, if you will.
Right.
So, yeah, it's going to happen.
But, yeah, they already put out the thing basically saying, you know, we're sick of this stuff and we're going to move on. So, who do they draft?
The Browns?
Which quarterback?
Well,
I like Wentz.
They keep talking about Jared Goff out of California, but... The decision, Joe, is whoever they take, do they feel that person deserves to be picked that high at number two?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. And if not, how far do they drop before they would pick the guy they like?
How far could they drop?
Could they drop?
To
right?
get the guy they
choose
want.
To, yeah, choose to move out of that number two spot.
Because those two guys are going to go fast.
Right.
I think. Wentz and Goff.
Right. And Paxton Lynch out of Memphis is another guy a lot of people like.
Yeah.
And then there are others who say they could wait a little bit and draft Connor Cook out of Michigan State.
Right.
And I'm not a big fan of his. I don't know what you think of him, but...
At times I love him.
Yeah.
I think he's a good field general kind of guy.
I think he's pretty tough.
He's tough.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know. It's a difficult decision. Mm-hmm. Talk about the other things we talked about before was do you wrap around all the talent and stay with an older guy?
Stay with McCown and draft a quarterback later and then develop him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. A lot of decisions there. A lot of new people making decisions.
Yeah.
So
they have analytics now.
Oh, yeah. They'll be judged by what they do with that number two pick.
The other thing I wanted to get into was a Super Bowl tomorrow. And I before we get into the teams themselves, do you remember a movie years ago, not Any Given Sunday, but Black Sunday or something? It was about the terrorists.
Al Pacino, right?
I think it was.
He was the coach?
That was Any Given Sunday.
Okay.
But there was another one that was Sunday. It took place at a football game. There were terrorists and they had all
I remember, stuff. But I don't remember seeing it.
Well. The reason I bring this up is because Super Bowls nowadays, you're going to have F-15 fighter jets on standby tomorrow. You're going to have helicopters buzzing the streets. You're going to have canine units treading the sidewalk. You're going to have rooftops covered with snipers.
Mm-hmm.
All this stuff, it's going to look like a war zone. People won't see it.
Right.
They'll see the people, the canines mm-hmm. and stuff. But security, snipers, helicopters,
yeah.
F-15 fighter jets.
Yeah.
I mean, when I think about where we have come, you know, Super Bowl I was, what'd they have, maybe 20,000 people show up?
Not a big deal.
Wasn't, you know, no. Didn't worry about security at that time, didn't worry about anything. Now you've got, I mean, it's going to look like a war zone.
And the viewership watching this game, you know, is it over 100 million? Something like that every year.
Ads are 4.5 million for 30 seconds.
Do you remember not too long ago when the first time ever it was $1 million plus?
Yes.
Remember that's such a big deal? Yes. Now we're up to over four?
For 30 seconds.
For 30 seconds, yeah.
I mean, it blows me away, but I can't wait to see the ads.
Yeah, oh yeah, a lot of people. I laugh every year, Joe, when it comes time to a commercial, when there's a timeout. You know, I always want to make a move, either to the bathroom or back to the food table, and so, oh, wait, the commercials.
Yes.
and then you got to decide if you're going to miss the first couple minutes of when the game returns.
Yeah. You'll see the commercials 100 times
in
the next
week. Yeah, right,
you
can go do that. Yeah, sure.
what's your thoughts on the game?
Well, I may have mentioned this before, but I'll say it again. My brother-in-law played at Tennessee.
Okay.
And when Peyton Manning was there, I mean, he played before Peyton Manning, but when Peyton was there, he got an autographed picture and gave it to my son. My son's favorite player is Peyton Manning.
Okay.
And so we've always had ties. We've got the big fat head in his bedroom.
Yeah.
In the Colts uniform from years ago. And so I've always been a big Peyton Manning fan. And I'd love to see him win it, and I'd love to see him then retire.
But, exactly.
I think Carolina is both outstanding on defense, and Cam Newton is incredible. So my heart is with Denver. My head is with Carolina.
Yeah, yeah. I think I'm the same way.
And I think a lot of people
although
feel
I do
way.
Love Cam. I love Cam Newton.
I do
love
too.
And here's the other part. I love what this team, how this team plays the game. They play it. They have a blast.
They do.
They're laughing. They're carrying on. They're running around. They're talking junk. It's like a bunch of youth football players mm-hmm. making a lot of money playing mm-hmm. football.
Right. Right.
And that's exciting to me because they brought kind of a, you know, New England is so methodical and businesslike mm-hmm. and all this stuff. And Peyton is kind of like that too, mm-hmm. you know, not mm-hmm. smiling, just get up there. And then you've got the Carolina Panthers that are a bunch of guys that just, they run around, they'll hit you, they'll knock your head off, and they just, they mess around, they hand balls out, they mm-hmm. dance, mm-hmm. they, you know, I love it.
Yeah. And Cam Newton is getting a lot of this done in the passing game with a wide receiving core that is average at best, probably below average.
Oh yeah, Funchess.
Yeah, I mean they've got a great tight end. They've got Greg Olsen, who is a great tight end.
But
Ted Ginn Jr. and Corey Brown, the former Buckeye, who's average. Those guys are average.
They haven't had great. They've never had great years. Funchess has never had a great year.
They lost their best receiver, Calvin Benjamin, way back when the season started.
And Steve Smith, they used to have, and they got rid of him.
Let him go. Yeah. So you know he's doing this with average wide receivers at best, but that offensive line is overlooked. They have a great offensive line.
I think so too. And it's going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
When we come back, I want to get in this NBC thing with you. I'm really fired up.
Okay.
Get your opinion about it. Earth, Wind, and Fire, Maurice White passed away yesterday. 74 years old, the co-founder, along with Philip Bailey, of one of the greatest groups ever assembled. This is the week that was. We'll continue with the Professor Dave Sheets right after this. Unbelievable music. Earth, Wind, and Fire. I don't know if they'll be the same you know, Maurice White has not been touring with him since 94, so obviously they've been continuing to do it, but he will be missed. I wanted to get in this Louisville thing because I'm really fired up. We talked last week, and I know Kenny and I talked when I was co-hosted on his show about that girls' team, youth team.
Yeah,
That went 3-0 in basketball, and because they went 3-0, they threw them out.
Yeah.
You've got the NBC, you got Alliance, all the other schools saying we're moving on. We're forming our own conference without Louisville. Mm-hmm. We're leaving you.
Mm-hmm.
And basically just saying why. It's a competitive balance thing. You're too good.
Mm-hmm.
Now, when you're Alliance and you've got twice as many people in your city to pull from, when you're Salem and you're bigger,
mm-hmm.
Canton South is in Canton, and you can't win against a community that has 9,000 people in it,
mm-hmm.
What's that say?
I don't know. I've got family in Louisville, and to me, it's all about their youth sports.
Well,
you know, and why? Why can't you organize youth leagues in those other communities?
What'd we say about?
And maybe they are. Maybe they do have them, but obviously, maybe they're not running them well, or I don't know.
You know, it's like to me, I said it's like a salesman who leads his company in sales every year and the rest of the sales force doesn't want to work as hard as he did. And so they fire him.
Yeah.
Or they want him out.
And there are others who will say that, there's too much emphasis on sports. You know, who makes those decisions?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When you hear that, too, you hear that argument. Well, they push their athletics, and it's too big a deal. They do make too much of it.
I mean, well, if Louisville had a terrible academic standard, then I'd say yes, but they're excellent.
Right. Oh, yeah. So I agree with you.
So obviously it translates.
Right.
I'm really appalled by this. Mm-hmm. I almost want to, I would hope a superintendent would call me from one of those schools today,
mm-hmm.
and give me a reason why they think the best lesson to teach their kids is you don't work harder. We don't try and work harder as coaches,
mm-hmm.
as administrators. We don't try and emulate what Louisville's doing.
Mm-hmm.
We're just going to leave, kids. And who would want to be, what's the next team that dominates the NBC? So when they leave and all of a sudden, say, Marlington starts winning every year,
mm-hmm.
what are they going to do then? Move again?
Yeah, good argument. I mean, it's hard to defend it. It really is. To me, I'm like you. I'm kind of stunned by it.
I mean, Lake doesn't get out because they're Division III and they're playing against Division I teams. They stay. And they compete.
Right. Right.
I'm blown away by this. And we're going to have Tim Street on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just blown away by this term now. Competitive balance.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. What the heck does that mean, Dave? Tell me. Does it mean parity? Does it mean we handcuff people at the top so that
All those things, yeah. It means all those things. I don't know. I don't think I have the enthusiasm that you do against it, but I certainly know where you're coming from. I mean, I get it.
In your growing up, did you ever experience a situation where people were doing this?
No.
That teams were being thrown out of youth leagues because they were too good?
Oh, no.
That conferences were disbanding because a team at the top dominated in one sport.
No. No, it's the softening of America, right?
Yeah. And why aren't people upset about this?
Yeah.
Why am I the only one that's got heartburn over
this whole
thing?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that many people are having a fit like you. I mean, they're not.
Because I think you're not thinking of the kids, the lesson you're telling kids. Mm-hmm. Because the kids on those teams, the kids that are playing at Salem, Canton South, Marlington, Alliance, Minerva, the kids, basically, they're hearing this and they're saying, they're either, one, they're happy because they don't have to compete against Louisville. Secondly, what they should be is embarrassed.
Yeah.
That, okay, Louisville's too good. They're telling us we're not as good as Louisville.
Yeah. My superintendent or my coach are telling me that we'll never be as good as them.
Yeah. You're not good enough.
Yeah, you're not good enough.
You're not good enough. So we'll just form our own league.
Don't challenge me to get better, work out, do everything it takes to get better. Don't challenge me.
Right.
Because you're not going to be ever that good.
No, you'll never be that good. They're just better. It's something in the water there.
It does.
Their water's different.
It does sound awful when you say it out loud.
I hate it. I hate it. Dave, thanks.
Hey, my pleasure.
We'll obviously talk to you in about 5 minutes
sure.
here. Dave Sheets, a professor. You know, I'll take your calls on that, 330-450-1480, but I can't after the 9 o'clock break because we are going to talk with Jan Bowen about how to achieve happiness and contentment. One of the things is not to run away from challenges. We'll talk about that and more when we come back as the week that was continues. Stay tuned. You know, I talked to you at the beginning of the show about being February still. It's still fresh. The New Year's resolutions are still fresh. And why do we make resolutions? We make resolutions basically for the reason of achieving happiness, contentment, joy, self-esteem. In today's chaotic environment, can we truly expect to attain real contentment, real happiness? We have with us right now a person who is a keynote speaker. She's an author, a facilitator. She's also certified in Pilates and therapeutic yoga and a lot of other things. And Jan Bowen is just released an ebook called How to It's Not That Complicated, How to Create a Personalized Template of Alignment. Jan, thank you for being with us this morning.
Thanks for having me, Joe. I really appreciate being on your show.
Well, thank you so much. I wanted to get into, you know, you deal with this all the time. You know, your background, I think, is psychology, correct?
I started with education in psychology, and then I worked in the corporate world for, over 25 years. Yeah.
And then what caused you then to get out of it and do what you're doing now?
Oh, I think life unfolds in, you know, different ways that one thing leads to another. It wasn't a deliberate choice or path. It was just one of those circuitous routes where, over time I was traveling for work and I was traveling hundreds of thousands of miles a year. And it wore me down physically. And I thought, okay, I've got to do something else with this. And I started out consulting. But what clients were really asking me for wasn't specifically just the strategy plans and the marketing plans. They were really asking me for more of the personal, you know, how do I do this in my life?
Mm.
And one of my colleagues that I'd been in business with said, Dan, you've always done this with everybody you've worked with. You should just do it officially.
Mm.
And I laughed and I said, no, John, I don't do that sort of thing. But I realized that he was right, and that's what I had always done in some fashion, and so I just made it more official, and my business really took off because
Well, people are looking for that, Jan, and they're looking for, you know, I'm in the business world. I was a college football coach, too, at one time, but it all boils down to personal relationships.
Yep.
And everything in the corporate world. And I wanted to ask, you know, people out there, we're in Northeast Ohio. People struggle every day with things, with the lack of employment and a lot of things that go on. But and there's a lot of people that I see at the gym that all of a sudden in January, the gym fills up with a whole bunch of new people. And around March, they start dissipating.
Right.
How does one, first of all, let's define what you mean by happiness.
Well, I think that's the key to everything. There's so much, like you said, that isn't in our control. But what we do have in our control is what is self-motivating at a very deep level. And I believe everything ties back to what our purpose is. So for someone who can't control whether they are employed because, you know, the company that they had worked for 30 years laid them off, what they can do is decide how they're going to wake up in the morning and spend their next 20 minutes or 30 minutes or hour. And for that period of time, they do have control. And I think that kind of control builds self-esteem. And even though it sounds very simplistic, it builds on each, you know, each step builds on the other step. And it comes from a sense of knowing that we really do have a purpose in how we build those steps, and what they result in is something much, much greater than the moment.
Mm. And I look, I guess I look at happiness as being a temporary thing. Like I win the lottery, I'm happy. Something that, you're talking at a much deeper level of almost like a joy, a contentment.
Exactly.
Correct?
Yeah, there's two types of, there's actually a definition difference between joy and happiness. And happiness is pleasure-based. And yeah, gosh, you know, I'm really happy when I see my dog run across the field and they're delighted with the day. But a values-based deep contentment comes from joy. And that is the sort of feeling and contentment that you can carry through in spite of any grief, or, you know, you were talking about the Super Bowl and terrorism threats mm-hmm. and that sort of thing. That joy can live in the midst of all those other threats. It's a simultaneous thing because it's values-based. So they're linked. They both have tremendous value, but they do differ.
Mm-hmm. I wanted to... I guess I'm asking questions that maybe you don't get, but these are things that I think about when you're talking about values, you're talking about individual values and actually finding out and being introspective and finding out who you are as an individual.
Absolutely. And I think that's really the only way that people have that contentment and joy in their life from a long-lasting standpoint. It takes a little effort, and that's why I say it's not that complicated. It just does take some commitment to yourself, but it's what we stand for in life, whether we're willing to admit it or not. It's what, you know, it's like our personal litmus test. What do we stand for above all else? Well, it's our values.
And the problem, I think, in today's society, one of the things, and you comment on this, but we want to associate ourselves with, it's easier to associate ourselves with a group mentality and saying, okay, I'm, and let's talk, it's election time. I'm a Republican. I'm a Democrat. I'm an Italian American. And so you start associating yourself with that group think, which actually becomes a barrier towards you finding out your true joy.
It does. And, you know, I think, and you had referred to this earlier also in your show, I think you called it a softening. We water ourselves down in that effort to be accepted. We look for someone to say, yeah, that's right, or you're okay, or I think that you are going to be okay, or some sort of affirmation. Whatever our fear is, we look for someone else to say, oh, you don't have to have that fear. when the hardest work we have, I think, is saying, "Yeah, I'm not going to look for someone else to do it, because my fear is really my own. I'm just going to. I know what my values are because I've spent some time with that, and I'm going to go out with them. And I know at some point, somewhere, it'll be okay."
Yeah, and we're talking with Jan Bowen, by the way, and she's her e-book you could get is called It's Not That Complicated, How to Create a Personalized Template of Alignment. Plus, there's a It's Not That Complicated toolkit that actually guides you through this process. And you know, I would recommend this to people from the fact that you have to have some kind of guidance in this, whether it's a counselor, whether it's an e-book like yours or something to guide us through. Jan, I wanted to get into habits, daily structure. I used to tell players all the time, and I think it's true in life. If you aren't at that point yet, fake it until you make it.
Absolutely.
And so go through the processes, even if it doesn't feel right. Go through the processes. And you talk about the whole being, physical, mental, spiritual, everything. Explain all that.
I think that life is very busy for everybody, no matter what our personal situation is. You know, there's always lots of people around and situations around. And so what that brings, I think, to us each is a lot of clutter, a lot of mental clutter, a lot of emotional clutter, and it takes clearing to be able to get rid of all that, to tune into what our own values are and know how we want to go forward. And to do that, I think it takes a good, healthy routine for ourselves. And everyone has what works for them. You know, athletes eventually, hopefully, know what's best for them, and it changes through life. And people that aren't athletes also need the same sort of thing. They need to know what foods are best for their bodies. They need to know what sort of mental practices. I use the word practices over and over because it is a discipline. Mm. If we put in negative television shows and media and the opposite of your radio show, you know, something that's telling us about doom and gloom all the time, what's going to be at the top of our mind? That kind of thought.
Yeah.
To me, I don't know how people that listen to all that can think anything but that. So it takes clearing on a regular basis of that from a mental standpoint, a physical standpoint, and what I call spiritual is whatever name people want to call it, but something that connects you deeply with what's inside of you, whatever is greater than yourself. If you want to call it God, a higher being, whatever. The name doesn't matter. It's something, whatever that essence that's greater than yourself is. Quietness. If it's a walk in the woods that does it, great. But a regular routine of doing that is so critical to just shut out all those other influences and get back to what we all already know. We each have this already within us.
In eliminating the stinking thinking.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. We have to take a break real quick. When we come back, I want to talk about, we've talked about kind of the issues and how to do it. I want to get specific on what people can do to help their situations and to get out of that funk, so to speak. We're going to continue with Jan Bowen, the author of an ebook and much more. She's a counselor. She's a thought leader. She does everything. But the book is called It's Not That Complicated, How to Create a Personalized Template of Alignment. We'll talk to Jan right after this. You know, if you just got up every morning and cranked up some Earth, Wind, and Fire, I think you'd get in a great mood.
I agree. Music is extremely transformative and helpful.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. And Jan, I think the big thing is when we start looking at transforming our lives, so to speak, is, and I want you to comment on this. I'm kind of throwing stuff out in my head. I apologize, but
I love it.
Realizing that your circumstances are not you. The things going on, the speed bumps, and looking at problems more as speed bumps versus barriers.
Yep.
And realizing that you're much more than your circumstances.
Yep.
How do people get beyond that?
I think what it takes is having that place where you realize who you are and what you are. And it always comes back to purpose. And I think that is both, to me, the simplest and the hardest thing for people to realize what their purpose is. And I do get a lot of eye rolling when I say, you know, it's all about figuring out what your purpose is, because I think just saying those words sounds so grandiose.
It sounds ominous. It sounds like, how do I find my purpose?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And it's such a simple thing, and yet it does sound ominous. One way that makes it easy is if we just daydream a little bit about our life and we think about the constant factors that have been there from when we were children. For example, if someone has always been helping and teaching other people, you know, always, like when they were little, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, all the way through, chances are, in some way, they liked teaching, coaching, mentoring. There's some element there that means part of their purpose is somehow teaching or guiding. There's a hint there that's really a huge hint. So there's a start. There's clues like that that the world gives us that are so fun to follow. And once people get one clue, they like it, but it takes that little bit of daydreaming. And I think people often stop themselves because it feels so, like you said, ominous and scary.
And I think then the other part is saying to yourself, convincing yourself that all things are possible.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, you're right. One of the other things that often will stop people is they'll think of what their purpose truly is. And they'll say, "Oh no, no, that's too grand. I'm just me. That's not me. I can't do that."
Yeah.
And the truth is, we're all really huge in our purpose, and we're all really tiny in our purpose.
Yeah.
We're all just doing our thing, and it's all pretty great.
Yeah, I your book. The ebook that I was talking about. And first of all, in the time we have left, because we only have a couple minutes, they can go and this book will kind of guide them, this toolkit that goes along with the book. It's not that complicated, and it's not that complicated toolkit. Kind of guides people, takes them through exercises to help start doing this, correct?
Correct. The book itself has all the tools. And then the toolkit makes it easy because you can actually download and it's the worksheets themselves. The book has the same exercises. The toolkit has a few extras.
Okay.
That I added in there. And you can get them both on Amazon or my website, which is the same as my name, janlbowen.com.
So it's Jan L. Bowen, and it's B-O-W-E-N. And you could go there. They could go on your website and probably just get articles, get blogs, things that you're putting out and all that stuff too.
Yeah, I do a lot of writing, so there's always articles that I hope are inspiring and encouraging. I'm a little quirky, so there's often things...
Quirky's good.
I like it. It makes me laugh.
Good.
I hope it makes others laugh. So there's always things like that on there that hopefully brings people a little giggle and a lot of fun.
Jan, thank you so much, and I would love to get you back on again, and we'll talk a little bit deeper about some of these things that you're doing and some of the things that people can do to actually get to that point where they find their purpose and their joy in life.
I would love to. Thank you so much, Joe.
Thank you, Jan. Jan Bowen, hopefully that helps with some of the things that are going on in your life. When we come back, We're going to talk a little bit more. I'm going to open the phone lines, 330-450-1480. Let's talk about Louisville. Let's talk about the NBC. Let's talk about competitive balance. Yes, it is a veritable boogie wonderland. I wanted to remind you, if you have cabin fever, and if you are a parent that has cabin fever and all the kids running around, Kid Fest, Canton Kid Fest, is next Saturday, February 13th, from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. Entertainment, games, prizes, bouncy houses, face painting, balloons, arts and crafts, interactive exhibits, petting zoo, and more. For children age 12 and under, they're free. They must be accompanied by an adult. Tickets are available at the door. Adults, $5. Inflatables, $3. I will be broadcasting live from the Civic Center from 8 to 11 next Saturday. I will have a little extra money for anybody who doesn't have $3 for an inflatable. I am offering that out there. You need to come. But also, you can get VIP passes. Pam Cook will be handing out a limited amount of VIP passes for people. This will get you get adults in, or it'll give the kids the access to the inflatables. A limited quantity, and she'll be at Pat Catan's on Whipple Avenue this Tuesday, the 9th, from 4 to 6. So Pat Catan's on Whipple. You go there from 4 to 6. Pam Cook will be giving out VIP tickets. And next Saturday, I'll be broadcasting from there, Saturday morning. You need to do this. This is an incredible opportunity to get kids just involved. I mean, face painting, petting zoos, a whole thing. It's incredible. So mark that in your calendars. First of all, the 9th at Pat Catan's, 4 to 6 with Pam Cook, handing out VIP passes, limited amount. Don't attack her when they run out. And then next Saturday, 11 to 5, at the Canton Civic Center, downtown Canton, Kid Fest, Canton Kid Fest. This is a great event, unbelievable event. I'm so glad they did it in the middle of winter, get kids out. All right. I think I got people fired up. I got callers galore. Let's go to Dwayne. Dwayne, what's up?
Yeah, you keep talking about the NBC, about, you know, they're wanting out of the NBC, the schools, because of Louisville's too strong. Well, Louisville done the same thing. They could not win when they was in the Federal League, and they took their football and went home. So what's the difference?
Really?
Yes, they did.
Really?
Yeah, you know, they couldn't win. They couldn't compete, so they took their football and went home. But when they do it, Louisville does it, it's fine and dandy. When Canton, the NBC team, do it, then it's terrible. They're a bunch of sissies.
Do you feel good about Canton South saying, with being in Canton, do you feel good about Canton South saying, we can never beat Louisville, so we're going to leave?
Well, listen.
No, do you feel good about that?
No, I don't feel good about that, but you got to stop and think. We only got 7 kids on our JV basketball team down here. We got to put 8th graders to fill out the bench.
Why?
Because we don't have the numbers. We're a small, very small community.
But you
can't compete. Is that why Louisville got out of the Federal League, because they couldn't compete?
I don't know. I don't know the history of why Louisville got out of the Federal League.
Because they couldn't compete. They couldn't win. That's why they got out. But when the other schools,
I can't imagine they couldn't win. They had a huge rivalry with North Canton Hoover.
What about the other schools in the Federal League? They couldn't win in the Federal League. That's why they got out. But it seems to be okay when they do it. But when someone else does it, it's terrible.
It is terrible.
So then you should say that, not just make fun of the rest of the schools.
I'm saying that this is ridiculous. You can't beat them, so get out and kick them out. I'm saying this is terrible. And you know what? People have a chance. The school boards have a chance to stop this and not vote for this, because it is ridiculous.
Well, you're saying it's okay to go 1-10 every year and say, well, that's, losers are fine.
All right, so now what's going to happen when you leave, Dwayne, and now Marlington starts beating you every year? You're going to kick them out too?
No.
No, you won't.
That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about you're making fun of the NBC school because they went out, but when Louisville done it, it was okay.
You know, I don't even know the history behind that. That's first of all, someone from Louisville needs to call. Dwayne, I'm sure before this show's over, somebody from Louisville will give me the history of why they left the Federal League. I appreciate your call.
Because they couldn't win.
Yeah, right.
Thank you.
All right. Tom, what's up?
Hi, thanks for taking my call. I agree with you as far as I think it's crazy that they, as a league, voted basically they're saying they're going to disband the league, form a new league completely separate, and they're not inviting Louisville along. It's one thing, like the caller before me, it's one thing if the school district determines that they needed a more even playing field, like they're going to go into another league where they can compete and still challenge their kids. It's another thing when an entire league says, you're too good, and instead of us trying to improve, we're going to tell our kids, you suck, you can't ever win, and we don't want to try to help you win. We're going to just move because these guys are way too good for you.
So
that's totally different.
And, Tom, I agree with that. So if Canton South said, look, we can never compete in the NBC, we're going to go into the Pac-7. And that's a whole different thing than a whole league saying,
exactly,
we're leaving you.
Because what you're doing as a school is you're looking at what you have. You're being honest with yourself saying, I have this level of talent. I still want to challenge my kids. So you're trying to find where they can compete and not really feel bad. You're trying to give them competition. What the NBC is saying is we can't compete as an entire league. There's nobody here that can get any better, so we have to get rid of the one good school we have. Instead of having a bar to raise up to, we're going to eliminate that bar and make it lower so our kids have nothing to strive for.
Tom,
you're not good, and you're going to stay that way.
Tom,
I think it's wrong.
That's a great point, and I thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was a great point. Let's go to Bob in Louisville. Bob, what's up?
Well, should we get rid of Mount Union out of the OAC?
Oh, gosh, yeah. They should get out of Division III. The whole Division III should get out of and leave Mount Union.
I think that Mount ought to be driven out of the OAC because nobody can beat them in football.
Well, that's a fact. And that's a fact. That's a bigger fact. That is a good point, Bob. I appreciate it.
The boards of education can stop this if they want to.
They can, can't they?
Yes.
When do they vote?
I have no idea.
All right.
I have no idea.
Yeah, it would be. That, it's almost like throwing up the white flag, saying we surrender. We're not going to try and get better. And Alliance has 22,000 people in it.
Well, the only sport that. This is happening in this football.
Yep.
Every other sport's competitive.
Yeah.
Everybody beats everybody.
Yeah. This totally blows me away. What kind of message are you sending your kids?
I would rather beat them than run away from them.
Bingo. Because you know what? When you get in life, there are competition. There are people. There are companies that are better than you that you have to compete against. So what do you do? Close your company or get better?
Well,
you know, this is a lesson that this baffles me. When I talk to Tim Street at 10 o'clock, we're going to talk about the whole OHSAA competitive balance thing. Because if you look at the numbers, Bob, there is no factual reason for competitive balance.
One of the superintendents that voted to get Louisville out played football at Mount Union.
Well, that's amazing.
Yep.
How did he feel when he played and beat everybody's brains out?
I don't know.
Yeah. All right. Well, Bob, thank you so much.
Bye.
Appreciate the call. Let's go to Chester. Chester, what's up?
Hey, Joe.
How are you?
A lot of these callers are on top of what they're saying. I remember when Maslin dropped to the Federal League and these other teams just started moving around. They started inventing leagues, the Senate League, Federal League, and used to be Class A and Class B, then it went to AAA and AA and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, a little bit of investigation in there, and you'll find, you know, the points that these guys are trying to make. Not that you're, you know, making fun of what's going on, but, you know, just a, I guess, a matter
of... I'm not making fun of anyone, and that's what this guy was saying. You know, I'm not making... I'm saying, look at yourselves, and what message are you sending your kids? That we can't, a whole league is leaving a school? Well, it doesn't make sense.
Hey, look, if there's a chance for this league to move up instead of just getting kicked out, I can understand what you're saying.
No, if here's what, and Tom brought up a great point, Chester. If Canton South says individually, I can't compete in this league, then I'm going to go find a league I can compete in. But you don't say as a whole league, you're too good, so we're kicking you out. That's what they did to that girls' basketball team. They went 3-0, and the whole league turned around and said, you're too good, we're kicking you out.
Yeah, I got you, Joe.
It's crazy. Chester, thanks.
Yeah.
All right, let's go to Paul. Paul, what's up? Paul.
Yes.
What's up?
I kind of disagree with you on this Louisville thing. If Louisville... Yes, sir. Just like Mount Union. I'm Mount Union fan, by the way. I've been all the way to Salem with himself.
So you don't have a problem with Mount Union just wiping away with the OAC every year?
No, I'm not okay with that. But that's why I think maybe they should get in maybe to a different division.
Okay.
Okay? And same with Louisville.
But but how would you feel if the OAC just said next year, we're throwing you out? You got to go find a new conference.
That's something they don't have to deal with then. You know,
but how would you feel about it, Paul?
How would I feel about it?
Yeah.
Well, it was a good ride while we were there.
Pardon?
It was a good ride while we were there.
Yeah, but wouldn't you think that those other teams are a little bit, instead of doing better to compete, wouldn't you think they'd be that's a little cowardly?
No, I think it might be, this can also be construed as cowardly on Louisville, same on Union's part, in as much as they don't want to go where it's not comfortable. And you're telling...
Why should Louisville have to leave? Because they're too good? Why should Mount Union have to leave? Because they're too good?
Why did Louisville leave the Federal League?
I don't know.
They weren't around here when then.
Well, Tom brought up a great point, Paul. This is one team. And it'd be like, I would not have a problem if Canton South said, I can't compete, we can't compete in the NBC.
You don't know a whole lot about Stark County sports.
Well, no, I do know a whole lot about Canton. I do.
Let me ask you this. You're using Canton South now. Did you know that when Louisville was part of the Federal League, so was Canton South?
Okay.
Canton South left because they couldn't compete too?
And that's great. That's great. Paul, do you see a whole big difference between a whole conference saying we're not good enough, we're kicking you out, versus one team making that decision, one school making that decision for themselves?
We see a situation where we see basically one school not allowing Mathlin into the Federal League.
That's
one school doing it, okay?
I agree with that. And you know what? I'm against that also.
Let me ask you this. Did you also look at the numbers that there's like a 20% greater number of boys in Louisville than there are in the second highest school? And in Minerva, I think there's 371 boys in Louisville than 211.
Okay.
Okay, you were a coach, you know.
You know what? When I was a coach, I was coaching at schools that were playing. When I coached at Akron, we were playing Nebraska. We were playing Penn State. We were playing LSU.
Wait a minute. Not every week.
Just every year.
Okay.
And we would play those teams. And I'm going to tell you what. I enjoyed the competition. I enjoyed trying to beat those teams.
How many games did you win?
We almost beat...
You're not answering my question.
But that didn't... I didn't say... But I didn't throw my hands up and say... Hey, Mister.
How many games did you win?
Never.
Those games were there for the money.
Who cares? It's about how you're, Paul, it's about, Paul, it's about your attitude towards it. Am I going to try and get better? Am I going to, you know what? I'm going to tell you something. We played Virginia Tech one year when I was at Akron. We got beat 76-0. The next year they came into the Rubber Bowl and they beat us by 3 points and they were number 6 in the country because we played our asses off. Because we got better. We didn't run from them, and we didn't drop them from the schedule.
You know, you're using different standards.
I'm not using. It's all about attitude, Paul. It's all about attitude, and it's all about what you're teaching your kids. It is.
Okay. When you're telling these smaller schools to strive to be better, but then when you got...
Smaller schools, they're all the same. Louisville's only got 9,000 people in the city.
Well, I can't help that. They also have a rural area.
You know what? They're just good. They're good.
I'm not saying they're not good.
They're good. And everybody else needs to get better.
I have a lot of respect for Louisville from the standpoint of what they have accomplished because I don't even think they have a little league ball. Because I have some friends that live in Louisville, and they did not have little league ball. He had to send his kids to East Canton to play little league football.
Yeah. Hey, so, Paul. Paul, I trust me. I enjoy this back and forth. I do. And I get what you're saying to a certain extent. But all I'm about is, you know what? You don't tell kids that you don't set an example saying we're an entire conference, we're kicking this team out. If you don't like it in your particular school, then you find a conference to go to. And if you're going to stay in the conference, you're going to fight to get better. You don't throw out the best team and think that that improves the conference. It doesn't happen. It doesn't happen.
I'm not saying it improves the conference. It gives it more balance.
Oh, yeah. There we go again. It makes it more fair.
Why isn't Akron U in the Big 10 or 12 or whatever they call it now?
I don't know.
Because they won't get them. They won't let them in there, number one, because...
Okay, they won't let them in. They won't let them in.
Okay, it's that simple. There's nothing embarrassing about it.
Well, you're talking about an individual team now. We're still talking about a conference. What happens if the MAC said, "All right, Toledo, you won the championship. No. We're kicking you out."
We've got a situation here. Okay, you have divergent points of view. You're never wrong, and neither am I. So we're not going to get anywhere with my talking to you. Okay.
It was great talking to you, Paul.
Have a good day.
Thanks. Wow. I get it. I get what they're saying. But basically, they're wrong. We're going to take more calls right after this. You know, rumor has it that there have been secret meetings going on in the Mid-American Conference, and they're trying to remove Akron because they're 19-4 this year. And they may be kicked out of the league. You know, we're talking about competitive balance, and something I'm not very fond of, but we've got a gentleman with us now, and I'm so grateful that he was able to come on with us. And Tim Street is a gentleman. He is the Director of Information Services for the OHSAA, and probably one of the hardest working men I have ever been around. I respect him tremendously. He does an unbelievable job at all the state tournaments, making sure that we're all taken care of, that our credentials are handled. I don't know how he does it, but he does it well, and he is an absolute gentleman. Tim, I want to thank you for being with me this morning.
Hey, Joe, I appreciate that. I appreciate those comments, and it's always great to catch up with you and the HBC folks at our state tournaments. And I tell you what, I appreciate you wanting to talk about competitive balance and getting a good dialogue out there on the airways for the folks to listen to and then make up their minds.
Yeah, I Tim, you know, when I look at the statement itself, the statement in the competitive balance philosophy says, but the very notion that there may be an inequity between these two types of schools caused the Competitive Balance Committee to more closely examine. The very notion That almost sounds like because there's enough people complaining about it. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I tell you what, you did find that, Joe. That might have been a statement back from a few years ago. But, you know, I guess a different way to explain it is that about 5 years, oh, shoot, that's going on 6 years ago, a group of public schools came together, actually not too far from Canton, over in the Wayne County area, that put together a lot of data on how many state championships were being won by non-public schools and presented a lot of data and said, this isn't right. And I think it's up to each person to decide what is right and what's too many or what's not enough. You know, it's all subjective. But they said, hey, we have an imbalance here, and they were going to push forward with a proposal to split the term as between public and private. And we have said all along that we don't want that to happen, so that's when the Competitive Balance Committee was formed, and now here we are.
Well, let's look at those numbers. We went through, our crack research staff here at WHBC, went through and looked at the last 10 years of basketball, men's basketball. 30 public schools have won championships. 10 parochial schools have won championships. Okay? If you look at football over the last 10 years, 29 public schools have won championships. 27 are parochial. So public schools have won more championships. Now it's close in football, and Division One is 8-2 for parochial versus public. That's really the only one that's really off skewed towards the parochial. But if you look at the numbers, public schools have won more state championships in football in the last 10 years. They've won far more basketball tournaments or championships, 30-10. And then if you look at girls softball, last 5 years, 20 champions were all public schools. If you look at girls volleyball, 14 public, 6 private in the last 5 years. And girls basketball, 12 public, 8 private in the last 5 years. So where is the imbalance?
Sure. Yeah. You know, and those are, you're right with that data. You know, with a couple of those sports in the last few years, I think a couple of those you mentioned had the last 5 years of data. You're right that the trend in the last few years has been a few more public schools have won. I think the baseline number that folks need to think about, and then I'll add a little bit more data to those numbers that you have. The baseline number that folks need to remember is that of our 822 schools and high school sports in Ohio, 17% are private schools.
Okay.
So that's kind of the baseline number that not only the Wayne County folks used, but a lot of folks have looked at, you know, should the number of state championships, and I'm asking this as a question too, but should the number of state championships won by private schools somewhat reflect their percentage of the membership? I don't know if that's the right answer or not, but that's what a lot of people have looked at. But to add a little bit of data to the numbers that you had, if you actually went back, oh, probably 5 or 6 years ago when the Competitive Balance Committee started looking at this. From 6 years ago, if you stopped at that point and looked back 10 years from then, so basically we're looking at like from 2000 to 2010, the numbers during that time period were a lot higher. In fact, in volleyball and girls basketball specifically, the numbers were more than 50%. Of the championships were being won by private schools.
Okay.
So you kind of have to think of it at the point in time when a lot of this came to a head, the numbers were more significant. And that's really when the Competitive Balance Committee started doing its work and looking at things. And the thing that we agreed with is that yes, the number of state championships won by private schools is more than the percentage of their membership. We did agree with that. But we did not agree with the push that was coming forward from a lot of public schools to separate. We have said all along that we don't want separation. We think that'd be bad for high school sports in Ohio, and it would have a lot of serious implications and unintended consequences. So we tried to put together this plan to keep everyone together, but also address the fact that there is a difference in how these rosters are compiled between public and private schools.
Do you think you've come up with a fair plan? Do you think you've come up with a plan that actually is going to work, or is it going to just become so burdensome to schools and to administrators and open the door to fudging numbers and all those things? And it almost means you almost have an investigative branch that has to go check these numbers every year.
Well, Joe, that is a great question, and that is kind of at the heart of what a lot of our conversations are right now in the office, honestly. I mean, you kind of hit the nail on the head that how much difference will this plan make? And we need to make it, we need to make the implementation of it such that it's not overly burdensome. Will it be more work for athletic directors and coaches? Yes, it will. And schools are going to be, once we unveil how this software is going to work with schools and putting rosters and indicating, okay, here are the 30 kids that play girls basketball in our school. How many of them are a level zero, a level one, or a level two? That's going to be extra work for schools, and we know that. Schools certainly don't need more work to do, so we need to make our system as easy to use as possible. At the end of the day, how much movement will this cause among schools, you know, potentially going up a division? We're going to be really curious to see how that shakes out. But, you know, going back to, you know, is this the right plan or not, and folks might, I bet a lot of folks remember this. I know we've talked about it before, but the first three competitive balance plans that the OHSA put out, all three of them, the membership did not pass.
I'm glad the one didn't pass that you actually got penalized for winning.
Yes.
That was crazy.
You know, the ironic thing is that the state of Indiana just adopted a bylaw that does just that. They liked that part of it. And so they passed a success factor in Indiana that was based on ours. They liked it. So, you know, it is so every state's so different, and even within states, Ohio's so diverse. You have huge metropolitan areas, and you have a lot of rural, and you have Appalachia, and you have everything in between.
Yeah.
So, you know, it is going to be really interesting to see how it plays out. But the first three plans failed. There were a lot of things in those plans that we weren't even crazy about, but the Competitive Balance Committee that worked really hard on it said, maybe this is the way we should go. Maybe this is the way we should go. So they tried it. The school said no. But on the fourth proposal, the school said yes.
Hmm. I've got to take a break. Can you stay with me?
Yeah, I can.
All right. It'll just be a minute or two, and I want to come back, and we're going to continue with Tim Street, the Director of Information Services. And much, much more. He does so much more than just that at the OHSAA. And, Tim, thanks for being with me. We will continue this with you as soon as we come back. We are continuing our conversation with Mr. Tim Streed, administrator at OHSAA, one of the, I guess, higher up administrators there. He actually does a great job with everything. He's so busy during the, I, you know, Tim, I think about what you do during the high school football championships, and it's like, how in the world did he put this together?
I wonder that too myself sometimes.
You know, knowing who's got credentials, who's going to park here, how you going to park, you know, where you going to go, all the documents that you put out, all the things that you do, it's unbelievable. And I have to tell you, I think the OHSAA, I honestly believe that our tournaments are the best in the country. The most well-run, the the best formats. The only thing I would disagree with is that you need to move them back here permanently. But that's other than that, I don't have a problem with it.
Well, where the football finals are coming back in 2017. So, Joe, you need to go over and make sure that Tom Benson Hall of Fame Stadium is done by then. Okay?
You know, I will go put a brick down today and make sure it's done. Tim, I wanted to here's my whole thing on this, and I'm just going to be blunt with you. We've got a conference here, the NBC in Stark County, who they kind of secretly met, and they're throwing out the best team, which is Louisville. And they're basically saying, we're moving the whole conference to another conference and you're not in it. You've got a youth girls team in somewhere in our country that went 3-0 to start the season and the conference kicked them out. The competitive balance was started by public schools who felt that they weren't winning enough and didn't have weren't winning. And so the idea behind that is then to handcuff the schools that they think were not allowing them to win and bring them down to their level instead of getting better. That's my philosophy on this whole competitive balance thing. Mm-hmm. That it's trying to achieve equity by administrative means rather than getting better.
Mm-hmm. I can give you an example, and I know what you're saying. And I don't know about the conference situation there with Louisville, and I don't know about the youth basketball team you mentioned, but I can give you this example, and this would be the way that I would explain administrative adjustment that you kind of hinted at there as far as how to correct a problem. I'll give you this example. 2 years ago in our boys basketball state tournament, this is 3 years ago, and I apologize, in our Division IV boys basketball state tournament in a state semifinal game, Lipsick, which is a little country school over by Bowling Green, made it to the Final Four, and their 11 boys on their varsity basketball roster all lived within 7 miles of the school.
Okay.
In their state semifinal game, they played a game against Cleveland Villa Angela St. Joseph, which had 4 Division I signees, I believe, and their coach said that they came from 4 different counties.
Okay.
And that is the kind of scenario where the competitive balance formula would most likely make Villa Angela St. Joseph a Division III school, and thus not correct the problem, but it just identifies that, hey, these two schools, Lipsick and Villa Angela St. Joe, both great schools. Got to know Babe Kwasniak at the state tournament last few years, great guy. However, I think people would agree that those two schools are fundamentally different.
I would agree with that.
And so when you look at it that way, the competitive balance formula in part is achieving its goal in that these two teams, both great teams, are still in the same tournament series, but Lipsick is fundamentally a Division IV school. Villa Angel St. Joe might be, quote-unquote, fundamentally, let's say, a Division III school. So they still earn their way to the state Final Four. They still would have. They still would have been in the Final Four. I forget who won Division III that year. But those two schools wouldn't have met in the state semifinal game. So that is what the competitive balance formula, that's just one example of what it's meant to do.
Okay. You know what? I've got that. So now, is this is etched in stone. It's going to start. If it doesn't achieve the goal, what's next?
Yeah, the competitive balance committee, which is about 30 people, a lot of school administrators, a couple coaches, OHSA staff, that committee is staying together in place. And
okay.
I think Commissioner Ross is going to bring that committee back here late winter, early spring. Once the software is done and we see what it looks like, we want that committee to look at it, go through it, poke holes in it, see how it works. And that committee will stay together, and they're going to look at the results of the competitive balance plan to see, okay, is this achieving anything?
Tim?
Yeah.
I'm up against a hard break.
Sure.
But listen, I thank you so much, and what you said made a tremendous amount of sense. Thanks, Tim. By the way, changes. Parents, next week, Kid Fest. This is an unbelievable thing. WHBC has kind of been instrumental in putting this all together. A lot of sponsors involved. Northern Ohio Honda Dealers, Pat Catanz, Mix 94.1, News Talk 1480 WHBC, obviously. Canton, Ohio, Sarda, Canton Parks and Recreation, Arts and Stark, CBT Sports, just Idea House, all kinds of things, all kinds of sponsors. A lot of people have gotten together to work hard to put this together so that kids, young kids in our community can be able to get out, have fun, have a day from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. next Saturday, February 13th, at the Canton Civic Center downtown. Entertainment, games, prizes, bouncy houses, face painting, balloons, arts and crafts, interactive exhibits, petting zoo, and more. For children 12 and under now. For children 12 and under. These are for kids. Children must be accompanied by an adult. Tickets available at the door. Adults are $5 to get in. Kids under 12 are free. And the inflatables, if you want to go in the inflatables, which are part of the DeVille Apartments Bounce Bonanza World, it'll cost you $3. If a child under 12 walks up to me and says, I don't have $3 to go into Bouncy World, I will provide that. I will provide that. Up to a limited amount. I don't want, like, thousands of kids coming up to me and doing that. But if you want to get, now, there's an opportunity to get a VIP pass. The VIP pass is good for either one adult admission or a child's access to all the inflatables.
Ooh.
Ooh. You have to stop by Pat Catanz. Pat Catanz is on Whipple Avenue. Only at that location, only at the Whipple Avenue location. But Pam Cook will be handing out a limited amount of VIP passes. You could get yours free while the supplies last by going to Pat Catanz on Whipple only from 4 to 6 Tuesday. This Tuesday, 4 to 6, Pam Cook will be there handing out a limited amount of VIP passes. So make sure you go. You got to go to this. You got to bring your kids to this thing. This is going to be unbelievable. I'm going to be broadcasting there. Dave Sheets and I will be there 8 to 11 next Saturday, broadcasting live from the Kid Fest. I can't wait to meet a bunch of little kids and see them playing, see them having fun. I may get my face painted. I may get my face. You know what? I'm going to do that, Stephen. I'm going to get my face painted. You're gonna get. I'll get a picture of it for Facebook. Everything goes on Facebook. That if Pam takes it, it'll go on Facebook. Everything does. All right. I want to get to Scott. We're gonna continue this discussion right now before we do our contest. We're gonna continue this discussion. Scott, what's up?
Hi, Joe. This is Don. I don't know why I wrote down Scott.
Oh, okay.
But, talking about the leopards. I don't have all the facts, but I was a member of the 74 Federal League Champs, Louisville.
You won the Federal League Championship? How did you do that?
Because we went 9-1. The only team that beat us was Perry.
But you're not supposed to be able to compete.
Well, we scored 281 points against our 66 of all our opponents.
Wow.
And I believe back then, Marlington and Canton South were in the Federal League.
Okay.
And not knowing all the facts, I believe when the other districts, I mean, we played Glenwood and Oakwood, when all the other districts started getting bigger, we were getting smaller.
Mm-hmm.
That's when we chose to get out of the Federal League. Back when we were in the Tri-County League, we were looking for something better, and that's when we moved to the Federal League.
Okay.
And then when all the schools, districts started getting bigger, we decided that we can't stay with the bigger schools because Glen Oak and Glenwood and Oakwood combined, and Jackson was getting bigger, and Perry's getting bigger, and we got smaller. So I think that has something to do with it, and I think Canton South and Marlington also decided, well, we're too small. And now, you know, things change every year, so school districts go up, they go down.
Yeah, and so I agree with that. So individually, the school makes it, and that's what people have to separate.
Absolutely.
Individually, if a school decides we are getting smaller, they're getting bigger, we need to go with like schools. If one school system decides that is much different than an entire conference having secret meetings and throwing the best school out. And the best school in one sport, by the way.
I agree with that. And, you know, the other schools in the NBC compete very well in most of the other sports. The Lions just won the basketball championship and also had a great team. Now our boys cross, they've won the last few years, and our girls track. But, you know, isn't it all about competing?
Yes, it is. It is. So, and that's my whole point. And, you know, I think it's ridiculous. I think... I guess I understand a little bit better about the competitive balance thing that's going on in Ohio. I'm not completely sold on that.
Yeah, that guy was very interesting.
He was.
I do agree. If you can draw from four counties, I mean, if Canton South can draw from four counties or Marlington, I mean, and get the best players to come to their school, yeah, that's awesome. But,
yeah,
you know, there's nobody parochial in the NBC. And we might have more boys, but that doesn't mean they're all athletes.
Right. I agree with that. I agree with that. And, you know, it's much more, and people have to look, it's much more than that. It's the tradition. It's the fact that success does breed success, and you have to start somewhere. Salem started that this year in football. You know, Ron Johnson has now got success to build on. And they're going to continue to get better because kids want to be part of something like that that's successful. That's what it takes to do it. And you don't throw out the best team. As a matter of fact, I think if you want to bring out the best in your kids, you make them compete against better teams.
Yeah, I agree with that. And actually, Joe, playing the NBC for Louisville, I don't think does Louisville any good. Because they don't try to get better. And when we go in the big games and we play schools that are, I think it hurts us.
Yeah, it could. It could. But, you guys were very close to beating Hoban this year. I still think you had to play. You had to score from the 1 yard line a couple times, and I wish that would have happened. And even though I'm a Hoban grad, I say that.
I know. I listen to that.
I've got a bolt. I've got to go. I appreciate your call very much.
All right, buddy. Thanks.
Thank you. All right, Stephen. Let's do the contest now, and then we'll take a break. Let's do the contest right now. So I got to clear these lines. How do I clear them, Stephen? Pick them up, hang them up, pick them up, hang them up. It didn't work. Oh. All right. Don't pick up the phone. Here's our contest. I was talking to Jim. Jim was picking up the phone. He didn't know we had a contest, I guess. Oh, he did. He did. I'm sorry. All right. So here we go. What's your name, please?
What?
What's your name, please?
Liz.
What is it?
Liz.
Liz, how are you, Liz?
I'm good.
Liz, are you ready for the contest?
Yep, I am.
Are you sure?
I am, Joe.
Okay, good. Liz, you win a 4-pack of tickets to something. The Canton Charge game. I forgot the date, Stephen.
Joe.
Okay, good.
But you could come in and pick them up anyway.
Yeah, they're usually a Saturday night.
Yeah, so you win a four-pack of a Canton Charge tickets.
Okay, I'll take a guess.
All right. Now, did you hear the answers earlier?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Oh, the 16th. It's on the 16th. Okay. Peyton Manning. You know who Peyton Manning is?
Yes.
Peyton Manning has been in the Super Bowl four times.
Yeah.
With four different coaches. Which coach did not help Peyton Manning in a Super Bowl? Was it Jim Caldwell? Was it Tony Dungy? Was it John Fox?
What are you giving me? Those are wrong answers.
Okay, well, give me the right answer.
Do those answers you gave this morning, don't they count?
Yes, that's the answer I want to get, Liz. So which coach did not help Peyton Manning win or go to the Super Bowl?
Okay. I'll take Jim Mora.
Yes! Very good. Very good. Okay, now, who scored Carolina's first points in their loss to New England in Super Bowl 38?
Seattle Seahawks, I suppose.
No, who? It's a person.
Oh, Steve Smith.
Yes, Steve Smith. Thank you. Thank you. Couldn't have been Seattle Seahawks. All right,
how much I know about football.
Oh, you're doing well. Which team beat the Denver Broncos by most points in a Super Bowl?
Okay, that's the Seattle Seahawks.
Thank you. Liz wins our contest in a four-pack of tickets to the Canton Charge game on the 16th. Liz.
Hey, Liz. Joe, yeah. Going back to last week's contest.
Yeah.
Remember the girl? If nobody called within 10 seconds,
yeah.
You gave her the tickets.
Yeah.
No, that was sweet.
Thank you.
But 1948 answer never came out, and I have a guess for it, but I'm wondering what the answer was. Do you remember?
No.
It was 1933 you had for Hitler, 1956 for
Martin Luther King.
Yes, and 1948...
was
another answer.
Yeah, I don't know what it was.
Oh, shoot.
I forgot.
You know what my guess is?
What?
The Jews went back to Israel and became a state.
Wow. I don't think that was it, but you know what? That's a good answer, though. That's a great answer.
I know that happened. I was working in Cleveland, and some of the Jewish people at the company that I worked for, went back.
Oh, that's neat.
That celebration.
All right. Hey, Liz.
Yes.
I'm going to put you on hold, and Jim's going to take all your information.
All right. God bless you, Joe.
God bless you. Congratulations.
Thank you.
All right. We're going to step aside real quick. We come back. Duct tapes. Duct tapes.
Now, back to The Week That Was with Joe Palmisano.
Yes, it's duct tape time. Washington, D.C., what are they doing to stop crime? The D.C. City Council, now this is, where have we come? The D.C. City Council voted unanimously Tuesday to approve a bill that will pay residents a stipend not to commit crimes. Up to $9,000 a year not to commit a crime. That's a crime. Unbelievable. So they will select 200 people a year, who are considered at risk. And they will pay these people $200 to go through a therapy program. And if they don't commit a crime during that year, they could get up to $9,000. I want that job. I want that job. You pay me. I won't commit a crime. I promise. Pay me $9,000. That's what they're doing in Washington, D.C. This is absolutely incredible. A South Euclid man is back behind bars minutes after he was released from jail. Police say Christopher Spanky Moore was released from jail at 11 o'clock Tuesday morning. Less than an hour later, he was spotted walking along Mayfield Road. And less than an hour later, officers say his arms were full of items he allegedly stole. I love that word. He allegedly stole from a local Walgreens and CVS. So he was once again arrested for the 76th time and taken back to jail on new charges. Spanky Moore, you did it again. Jackson Township Police. Now, this is not a funny one, because this could have been very dangerous, and I commend the Jackson Township Police Department for how they handled this. They encountered a tense situation Tuesday when a boy was spotted with what looked like a real gun. Now, this is a 13-year-old. He was in a convenience store around 6:30 in the morning with an airsoft BB gun that looked real. When officers approached, the teen ran away. Eventually, they caught up with him, at which time the teen had his hands in his pockets. They handled it properly. He complied with the officers, ordered him to put his hands up. He was arrested and taken to the juvenile detention center, or attention center, I think they call it now. So my congratulations to Jackson Township Police. That could have been a very ugly situation. Could have turned into like the Cleveland situation, but it didn't. And I commend them for that. A panhandler in New York City. Actually, he's in Detroit. I'm sorry. Panhandler takes credit cards now. He's got a credit card machine. He could take Visa, MasterCard, and American Express. Tech-savvy homeless man from Detroit, goes by the name of Honest Abe, doesn't just accept cash, which some passersby claim not to have. So he's got an answer for him now. That was the week that was. Next week, from the Canton Civic Center at Kids Fest. See you then.